2 Peter, we're in chapter 1. We're going to pick up right where we left off. We might review for a moment after we pray, but you'll notice, again, verse 5 says, and beside this, beside what? Well, beside all of the glorious things about the new birth in the previous verse, the verse before that, the verse before that, that we have been partakers of the divine nature, that we are children of God, that we are on our way to glory, and this is the gift of God, and you just receive it. But beside that, in addition to that, now you have to do something, and I have to do something. So beside this, giving all diligence. So that's not God's part. This is your part, my part. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. That's saving faith. Add to your faith what? Virtue. And then add to your virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. All of those we looked at last week, as you know. And tonight, we're going to look at the next one. Because you'll notice it says, add to temperance, patience. Salvation, as everybody here knows, occurs instantly, in a moment. It's not a process. Not being born again, at least that part of it, not a process. It happens. It's a birth, a regeneration. Old things are passed away. And all things are become new. You have passed from death unto life. Spiritual growth, however, being godly and becoming Christ-like, being gracious, being discerning, being a very strong Christian, that is a process of growth. And growth takes time. And because it takes time, it requires what Peter puts right in the middle of all of this. It requires patience. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, your people. And I just ask, Lord, you'll give us the strength, the attentiveness to hear what the Spirit has to say to us through this book, your eternal and perfect word. May nothing be between us and you now, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we look again at our text tonight, I think it's important for us to say something about the obvious, and specifically the obvious emphasis in the Bible on this subject that we just mentioned called patience. The word for patience there in verse 6, if you look at it, it denotes the idea of endurance, of steadfastness. It often includes the element of waiting, but it absolutely entails the quality of not quitting, of just simply giving all diligence, you have to do this, of simply not giving up. And again, in the Word of God and in God's work, there's this obvious, oft-repeated theme. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, be therefore steadfast, my beloved brethren. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Hebrews 12:1, let us run with patience. It doesn't just say, let us run the race that is set before us. No, he says, let us run with patience, that race that is set before us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, bring forth fruit with patience. Exact same Greek word. He said in Luke 21 and verse 19, in patience possess ye your souls. Romans 2, 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing. Hebrews 10, 36, ye have need of patience. James chapter 1 and verse 4 says, let patience have her perfect work. We could go on, and you know this, because all of these texts and dozens of more use the same word as patience in this text. And of course, what's significant about that, especially in today's society, is that you know what? Almost nobody quite understands or appreciates this quality, what it really does, what it really means, unless they want to and aspire to understand it. In agrarian societies, when the Bible was written, you had to be patient. You had to wait, you had to endure, you had to not quit. Life was basically based on seasons. Life was based on seasons, not on seconds, not on processors, not on news cycles and megahertz. Everything in the world used to take time because everything moved slowly. 20 miles was called a day's journey. Now think of that. It took you an entire day to walk from here 20 miles to there. Today, that's not a whole day's journey. It's 20 minutes. I can get there in 12. I mean, 20 miles is nothing. And you know, you drive your 20 minutes and you pull into a Chick-fil-A and you get an entire meal in 20 seconds. Chicken that was born, raised, cleaned, cooked, prepared with your drinks and your sides, but it's on your tray. Think of this. This didn't happen hundreds of years ago. It's on your tray in mere minutes. I mentioned a few weeks ago staying at my Aunt Minnie's chicken farm. And, you know, she would have chicken like every other night. But guess what she did? She went out there and grabbed the chicken. My dad, when he took us there the first time, boys, come here, I want to show you something. I grew up in this chicken farm. I'm going to show you how we killed him. And he grabbed the chicken and he did this thing and threw it down. And it bounced and then ran away. I thought, wow, Dad, that was impressive. But they would wring its neck and then they would pluck it and then they would boil it. And it took a lot of time. And obviously a lot of work. And then they had to, you're at Chick-fil-A in 20 seconds. And then if you want ice cream for dessert, you don't have to wait another season. You don't have to wait for ice or snow in the winter and then take it and crank it in a machine to make it. After you've milked Bessie the cow, squirted it in the bucket and all that stuff. And after you went into town, which is a day's journey, and bought the sugar and brought that home and so on. No, now you get it in 2 seconds. You just trade the kid's meal toy and you get the ice cream at Chick-fil-A like that. There's just no way that we can adequately comprehend the different lifestyle we enjoy as it reflects to speed and instant gratification. However, do you notice, beloved, that even though things were that much slower in those days. You know, Jesus' entire lifetime only traveled in a little spot about that big, like Palm Beach County. Even though things were much, much slower, you'll notice that patience was more woven in the fabric of that society. Nevertheless, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 500 years ago, God has told his people to exercise and embrace patience. It doesn't matter, in other words, in what century you're born, spiritual growth still takes time. Just because you have a 30-second devotional or you listen to your 5-minute podcast, and I'm not against any of that, of course, that doesn't mean it's going to speed up your spiritual maturity. Again, we're saved in a moment, but we are sanctified over our entire lifetime. Unfortunately, the I expect it now attitude, and you have it, I have it. You don't stand in line at McDonald's and think, I don't mind waiting 20 minutes for this. You're out of there. I've actually left food and driven out of the drive-thru. Because in this I want it now attitude, it has accounted for much of the lack of spiritual growth in Christians today. A guy was saved a week ago, let's make him a deacon. Guy was saved a month ago, let's stick him in a Sunday school class and let him teach. We see that all over this area. People that have no spiritual growth, they're like weeds. They just sprout up and they put them in some sort of a position. But there is no such thing as express godliness. There's no such thing as instant spirituality or quick maturity, fast fruit. As I noted, what grows fast are weeds. What grows slow are oak trees. You know, dandelions grow fast and the sun burns them away. What we need are redwood Christians, strong, godly, that grow much, much slower. When the Hebrew writer said to run the race, he wasn't talking about a 50-yard dash. All right? He was talking about a marathon. That's why he says, let us run with race the patience. It's a long race. It's a race where it takes sweat and cramps and thirst and effort and endurance, and you hit the wall. The problem with so many is that they run their 50 yards, maybe their 100 yards, and maybe even their half a mile, and they decide to either quit or claim that they've arrived. I'm here. I ran so hard and so fast, I'm ahead of most people, and I'm good. Now, folks, look, so far we have noticed that Christians are commanded to add three things to our saving faith. We'll put that on the screen. First, there must be faith. You have to be saved before you can have godliness or anything else. True agape love, you got to be saved first, because love is of God. Then you add to faith virtue. You have to have the right motive. Before you can grow, the heart has to be right. That's what that word means. It means you have to do it for the right reasons, not for self-glory or yourself. You have to want to grow for His glory. That's vital. So Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, add to your saving faith virtue, the desire for moral excellence, a heart for God. And then you add to virtue, this is the divine order, succession. Then he says you add to virtue knowledge. Why? Well, think about it. After you desire to be holy, if you have a heart to please God, how do you know what pleases God? This book. You ever think about 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved. What's the next two words? Unto God. You study the Bible to find out what pleases God, not man. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So if you want to have this virtue, then you need knowledge to know exactly what it is that pleases God. And then when you read and study the Bible, and you go to church and you fellowship together with believers and you hear the Word of God preached and taught, and you've learned what it is that truly pleases God from this book, not from some guy on TV, then the Bible says you add temperance. Because once you learn what God wants and doesn't want, you have to have some self-control. You have to decide, well, God wants me to read the Bible, I'm going to read the Bible. God tells me to pray without ceasing, well, how are you going to do that? Discipline. The Bible says temperance, self-control. You learn what God wants, and then you decide and to choose to do what God wants. That's why, James, it's not good enough to be a hearer of the Word and just get knowledge. You have to be a hearer and a doer of the Word. You have to get the knowledge and then temperance. Do what it says in the Bible. So here's a believer, and he's added all three of these, right? All three of these elements to his saving faith. Virtue, virtue knowledge, to knowledge, temperance. What does that mean? Does that mean that this Christian who's saved and has these three things is now growing in grace and is sort of adding to that roots of a tree we mentioned earlier? Is he slowly becoming a testimony? Is he slowly becoming a great testimony to the grace of God and this miracle of salvation in his heart? And the answer to that question is yes. Absolutely. Any believer who has gone this far and continues, because if these things be in you and abound, you don't stop, you keep doing it, all of them, all the time. Any believer who's done this far, since the day that they first got saved, they're going to have some spiritual growth. They're going to have some fruit that shows because of that. You're in church on a Wednesday night. That's some spiritual, you've had temperance, some self-control. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. That pleases God. I've learned that. I want to please God. Then I'll try to go to church. And many of you came. And that's some evidence, if you will, of your saving faith. You've been saved. You want to please God. You've learned some of what pleases God. And now you're trying to do what pleases God. So what more can you do? What more can a Christian and should a Christian do according to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer, which is critical, crucial, and it's in this text. And it's the very next element in Peter's message, verse 6. He says, until knowledge, temperance, and add to your what? Temperance, patience. Now, those of you who have a margin in your Bibles, you'll see the word patience there. I don't have one here, but I can almost guarantee if you have a margin, it'll say persistence. Or it might say endurance. The Greek word for patience here is hamanene, which means cheerful endurance. In other words, now please hear this carefully. Glory to God, you got saved. When we see people baptized next week, praise God for those who made a profession of faith. Praise God that you're learning this book, the eternal truths of God. Praise God that you're applying what you're learning from this book. But now God, right in the middle, right here, right now, not by accident, God says, all right, now guess what? Keep on doing it. Don't stop now. Right now, he says, make sure you endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why? Because here's what happens. Christians get so far in their spiritual growth for the Lord Jesus Christ. They have the right motive, they know. And all of a sudden, opposition hits them. All of a sudden, things get tough. Some big discouragement or disappointment. They hurt my feelings at church. Weariness, temptation. And what happens in this process of growth is they didn't now add patience, persistence. They quit. Now, they don't quit being a Christian. In fact, they may not even quit coming to church. They just quit growing. They may not even quit working in a church. They quit growing. Basically, many times they become satisfied. Satisfied with their degree of virtue. And now they're just weary and well-doing, as the Bible says. Just tired of well-doing, of growing. And they quit. They've gotten to the point where they can say the right things, the lingo, the Christian lingo. They can do the things that people see that matter to them the most. Their kids are surviving. And they're just satisfied. They're also satisfied with their limited knowledge of Scripture, the truth, and the Bible. It's enough. It's more than most people I know. It's more than people in that church. And it's a lot more Bible knowledge than the people I work with. So that's enough. So they quit. And they don't continue to add knowledge because their heart and their mind is now in neutral. And it's not even some evil, awful thing. They're weary and well-doing. So now, instead of being proactive, which they were when they were on fire, Brother Nick and I were talking about this last week, people, when you get saved, it's all virtue. It's like, I want to do this. I want to do whatever I can. So it's not that they're no longer Christian. It's just that they're self-satisfied. They become inactive. They quit. And here's the real problem. When you quit growing, because I'm still growing, believe me, when you quit growing, you will slowly but surely become the picture of verse 8, a tree or a vine that is barren and unfruitful, eventually forgetful of your salvation, your forgiveness, the glory of it. And the only remedy for that, beloved, the only one is in the Word of God, given by the Holy Spirit of God. The only one is this next thing on Peter's list, patience, endurance. Keep on keeping on. Giving all diligence, don't quit. Keep on keeping on. This is precisely why this part of spiritual growth and our pilgrim journey is so often repeated and emphasized, as we just noted, over and over and over again in the Word of God. We quoted James 1:4. In the book of James alone, it's not a big book either. In that book alone, this very word, same exact word, patience, is used no less than 5 times, beginning with that strong admonition. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect or complete and entire, lacking nothing. In other words, patience is absolutely vital, as the saying goes. Patience is a virtue. But it's a key. It's one of the great, great secrets One of the greatest, most powerful weapons and tools in the entire Christian life. It is so powerful, as we noted, that Jesus once declared in Luke chapter 21. I preached a whole message on this because that text blew my mind. When I read what Jesus said there and I studied it and studied it and studied it, where he's giving prophecy and how they're going to be tempted and tested and tried and some of them are going to die as martyrs, and Jesus said to them, don't worry about it. In patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, you will possess that soul. Others won't possess it. In other words, you want to live a life where you have a handle on the Christian life. That's what it means. You want to have a grasp, not just two little fingers holding it, a firm grasp on a godly life. You want to own your life and soul instead of some enemy owning it or some trial owning it. James says, like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro, up and down, a double-minded man so unstable in all of his ways. This is one of the secrets, the key really, to strength and to victory. This is the answer to being complete and mature and lacking nothing. Those are James's words in the perfect work of the Spirit of God in patience. Jesus said, you will possess your soul. Now, why do you think that is? Because this makes perfect sense. Why is it that patience is so powerful? Because, folks, think of it. If you don't quit, you haven't lost. If you don't quit, it's not over. If you don't quit, you are not barren. You're not really barren as long as you're still growing. Patience, endurance, faithfulness, continuing. This is the theme under the banner of faithfulness that is carried throughout all of the Word of God. Look, folks, there are, as you can well imagine, a lot of famous things that have been said about this gemstone called patience. Benjamin Franklin said, he that can have patience can have what he will. Now, if lost people can make these kinds of observations in life about patience, Leo Tolstoy, of all people, the two most powerful warriors in the world are patience and time. Edward Lytton, the great English novelist, said, patience is not passive. It is active. It is concentrated strength. This means persistence. George MacDonald, the great Christian writer, said the principal part of faith is patience. Isaac Newton said, every valuable discovery I ever made is owed more to patience than any other talent. Patience. Isaac Newton has considered to be the greatest, highest IQ of any human being who ever lived. And he said, my accomplishments were just by being patient. I like to say that patience is something that I admire in the driver behind me, but not the driver in front of me. Amen? But look, a lot of things have been said by a lot of people on the value and the benefit of patience, of persistence, of keeping on, not quitting. But none of them carry the weight. None of them carry the substance, the truth of what God has declared in His perfect Word. In many ways, patience is the last virtue that's noted in the Bible itself. All the way at the very end, you go to Revelation, and it says, here is the patience of the saints. A reminder of the very words of Jesus, who promised, as we noted, that patience is the means, it is the key, it is the method by which you and I, as children of God, will possess our life, even in the absolute worst of circumstances. Because if you haven't quit, you haven't lost. In Romans 15, Paul declares that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through, I don't know, fill in the blank. You know, how many things could he have written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? The Old Testament was written for our learning aforetime, for our admonition. For what? fill in anything. He said that we, through the patience of the Scriptures, might have hope. And in the very next verse, in Romans 15:5, he says, now the God of patience, think of that, that's his name. The God of patience grant you to be like-minded. The Heavenly Father is called in Scripture the God of patience. It is from this God that we are told in promise and in principle that we have need of patience in our lives if we're going to do the will of God. And again, beloved, this text is the will of God. We noted last week how this epistle begins, unlike 1 Peter, with the apostle giving both of his names. You see chapter 1, verse 1, Simon. Simon, Peter, Simon was the apostle's name before Christ. And yeah, you know what? He was a bit of a mess. He needed to grow. Peter was given to him by Christ. And it's a reminder that what Jesus told Peter following the resurrection had to do with patience. Simon, his old name, this is at the end of 3.5 years of teaching. Simon, Jesus said, son of Jonas, feed my sheep. In Luke 22, hours before the crucifixion, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, twice. That's an emphasis. Simon, Simon, he said, I have prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And now he's doing it with this text. The word when is a reminder to us that Peter hadn't arrived, that Peter himself needed to grow. What are the very last words of this epistle? 2 Peter, the very last words, the last verse, you can look at it, grow in grace. Now look, here's the thing. Peter had saving faith. I mean, he did. In fact, Jesus commended him for that simple faith. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Whom do men say? Who do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon that faith, I will build my church. He had faith. He definitely had the right heart. He had the right motive. He had the virtue because he meant it. You know he meant it when he declared, I will die for you. If all men forsake you, he meant that from his soul. That's why he was felt so guilty afterwards. You say, how do you know he meant it? Because he attacked a guard with a sword. Cut his ear off. Bad aim. Try aiming for the head. That shows that he meant it. He was willing. He had the virtue. In some measure, we know he had the self-control. By the fact that he walked on the seashore. I mean, that took some strength. But Pastor, he sank. He still has the world record of walking on water. The all-time record. And of course, after 3.5 years of listening to Jesus, he's had some knowledge. He's growing. But here's the question. When Jesus sees him by that seaside, and he calls him Simon, 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 and he says, one day you're going to feed my lambs. You're going to build up the brethren. When he's there and he has failed and he has wept bitter tears because he denied Christ with an oath, cursed, swore, I don't know the man. When he was on the absolute bottom of his own spiritual growth and he was growing, what did he need the most? What had to be added? Had to be added to his temperance. That had already been added to his knowledge. That had already been added to his virtue. That had already been added to his faith. Well, folks, at that point in his life, he really needed not to quit. Don't quit. He needed persistence. He needed patience. If Peter just hangs in there, if he just doesn't quit, hangs in there, as Jesus prayed that he would, I pray to you that you won't fail. If he'll keep on going, He'll be amazing. In fact, the last two things are brotherly kindness and love. We're going to talk about the next couple weeks. It's possible that this man, Peter, who was a racist, who was a dyed-in-the-wool Jew, could be the apostle who would be the very first man, first of them, to eat with and minister to and care about a lost Gentile Roman centurion, no less. He's not there yet, not by a long shot. But that's what happens when you add virtue to faith and knowledge to virtue and temperance to knowledge, and then you just don't quit. And in the middle of it, you just persist. You grow to become more and more like Christ himself. You see, the truth does not set you free. We've said it here. You know it's true. I hear it quoted all the time, preachers, the truth will set you free. There's songs that say the truth will set you free. Jesus never said the truth will set you free. He said the truth will make you free. You still have the truth, you get more truth, you have self-control, and you keep on doing it, and you keep on doing it because the truth will make you free. It is a reminder that sanctification takes time. And anything that takes time requires your patience, your endurance, and my persistence. And you know, it might not sound spiritual enough to some people, but sometimes victory and triumph and testimony is just a matter of not being a quitter. Of just saying, I'm just going to do it. I don't feel like it. I'm discouraged. Someone hurt my feelings. But I'm just not going to quit. Of just not taking that towel as they do in boxing and throwing it in the ring. You know, Jack Kemp was one of our congressmen back when I was in my late 20s and 30s. He was housing secretary, I think, under Reagan. He was actually a vice presidential nominee for a while. But before all of that, he played football briefly in the NFL, then the Canadian Football League. And then in 1965, he played for the Buffalo Bills when they were really bad. And one year he earned the AFL Most Valuable Player. He was talented. He finally had some success, but long before that success with the Buffalo Bills, it was rough going. He had the record that year for the most interceptions of any quarterback. And I remember a New York reporter asked him one time, Kemp, after a football game, he had 6 interceptions. Why don't you just throw in the towel? And he was so discouraged. He said, if I threw in the towel, someone would just intercept it. That's rough. Sometimes life is like that. But that's okay. Look, you're in very good company when it comes to hitting the wall, when it comes to being on the bottom, whenever the journey gets rough. And that is precisely why in this divine list of how to grow in Christ, God puts right in the middle this patience. And you know what? One of the great secrets to patience is absolutely crystal clear in the Word of God. Moses. I read that man, his life, what he put up with. But it says that Moses endured, that's the word patience, as seeing him who is invisible. Moses endured because he had his eyes on Jesus. The Bible tells that in the book of Hebrews. The Bible says that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured, kept his eyes on the prize. Patience is possible to those who keep their eyes on glory. Faith, it puts you on the road. Hallelujah for that. Virtue is why you're on the road. Knowledge are all the road signs. Temperance helps you obey the rules of the road. But patience, beloved, is what we must have when the road gets long and the journey is hard. Picture, if you will, like a ladder of growth. The higher you go, the more tired you might get. Patience is what keeps your hand reaching for the next rung, even if your arms are shaky. Now, obviously, folks, your arms aren't always shaky. Sometimes it is smooth sailing in the Christian life. The wind is in your sails. It's just wonderful and easy, it seems. You're not always weary. The Christian life are seasons. Seasons. Every Bible character, look at their seasons. In some seasons, you really need patience. You say, but Pastor, and I'll close with this. Pastor, why should I do this? You know, you taught last week and temperance and self-control. And why should I even do that? Why can't I just be a CEO? Christmas and Easter only. And just, you know, not have to worry about all of these things you add to your faith. Just bail out like so many other professing Christians. Why? That's easy. That's easy. It's given at the beginning and the end of this epistle. And we're going to read the beginning and the end to show you the why, and then we'll pray. The beginning, chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Yeah, it's precious. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given us exceeding great and partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Wow. I mean, that in itself is glorious. That's salvation. That's what God has done for you. And then the bookend, the last thing he says, chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Same thing as verses chapter 1. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Why? Because he's worthy. He saved you. He redeemed you. He saved you from corruption, this world, Satan, and eternity in hell. He saved you. Why add to your faith this and this? Because it says, to him be glory. When you grow and you keep on growing, your life glorifies Jesus Christ. And he's worthy of it. And God's people said, Father, thank you for your word. Help us to continue to grow. And in doing that, Father, let us be reminded tonight from your word that we have to add patience. We just can't quit. The woods are full of people who quit on the Lord Jesus, who quit on the faith, who quit growing. And I ask, Father, we'll recognize it sometimes. And especially the hard times, we must add patience. May we do so in obedience to your word so that you will receive glory throughout all ages. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.